Last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week ago, we did participated in a memorial service for a really good friend of mine. And as I was preparing for that, I thought about all the different ways that our lives touched. We served together in the same church for 20 years in a variety of ways. Our sons, his youngest and my oldest, were good friends. There were camping trips and basketball games and fun games at the house. I did his mom's funeral, and I did the weddings for both of his boys. His wife was my piano player most of the 20 years that we were in that church, and she was my administrative assistant for the last 10 years. So you can imagine that our lives touched in so many different ways. We did life together. And I think that's how it's supposed to be with our relationship with God, right? That we do life together with God. Dave, could you put those chandeliers all the way up? Oh, they are all the way up. Okay. Good. Thank you. So when we do life with God, we share the ups and downs with God, right? So when things are going great, what do? We thank God. When the bottom drops out of life, what do? We run to God and ask Him to help us get through the day, or maybe to get through the hour, or maybe to get through the moment. And when life is just normal, we thank God and just tell Him what's on our minds and hearts. And when we need something, we go to Him, and our lives just touch at so many different points. And what we do here is great, this corporate celebration, but we are in contact, hopefully, with God all through the week. We do life together. Today we continue our series called When God Speaks. The first week we simply made the point that God does speak in a variety of ways and asked the question, as we do every week, are we listening? Are we aware of what God is saying? Are we tuned in? That following week we talked about how God speaks through the Holy Spirit and how through the Holy Spirit, God invites us into relationship with Him and then invites us to partner with Him in doing the work of ministry. Last week, we talked about when God speaks through the Bible. And we thought, what a gift the Bible is to us. And as we learn the Bible, as we read it every day, we come to recognize the voice of God. And we know the heart of God and the ways of God. And so if there's confusion in our lives, we go back to that. Oh, what do I know about God? And that gives us clear guidance. It's so helpful. So today we are talking about prayer. Today we're talking about prayer. How many of you grew up in a church tradition where you said the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? Right. And I did as well. And yet, I really love the way this message unpacks the Lord's Prayer in a fresh way. And I think you'll find it inspiring and challenging. I sure did. So we begin with two questions. What is prayer, and how are we to pray? First, what is prayer? Prayer is relational. It's a conversation. It's not simply a religious activity. And I have to confess that when I was growing up in church, it was a religious activity, right? There were certain things we did that were part of every service, and they were rote for me, and they may have been a source of comfort, but to me, they were just words. But then I came to a relationship with God through Christ, and it changed my idea of prayer. It's meant to be a two-way conversation, right? Do you ever finish your prayers and then just say, well, that's done. I have other things to do. Do you ever do that? Anybody? I do it all the time. Like, it's one more thing checked off my list. But what's an alternative to that? Is to bring my request to God, my thanks to God, and then say, what do you have to say to me?
It was a game and it was happening and it was on television, so we were all streaming.
And then listen.
So we watched it.
What might God say to us if we take a moment to listen? Could be a variety of things. Could be simply that he loves us. You are precious to me. It could be about that behavior. It was not your finest moment. I have something better for you. And you know it. And what are we going to do about it? It might be God's reassurance that whatever we're facing, we're not facing alone. That God is with us. That his grace, the gifts that he gives to us, that's what grace means. A gift, an undeserved gift. That the gifts that he gives to us are sufficient. They are enough. God's going to give us the strength we need to get through the day. Maybe instead of taking the pain away, he will give us grace to live with it. Maybe he will use whatever circumstances are going on in our lives to make us more like Christ. Maybe he will give us hope. Maybe he will give us peace. What would God say to you? What is God saying to you this morning? Are you listening? Are you receptive? So when we pray, make it a two-way conversation, back and forth, listening as well as speaking. It's not wrong to make your requests known to God. We're told to do that in Scripture. Not wrong to pray for our loved ones. It's not wrong to pray about our day. It's not wrong to invite God to be part of whatever we're doing. Those are great things. But let's also take time to listen so that we can be part of what God is doing. So prayer, it's relational. It's a conversation between two that love each other. So how are we to pray? Our anchoring text this morning is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can, although I think you'll find it familiar. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And we call it the Lord's Prayer because here Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. How are we to pray? It's not wrong to recite it because it is a sample. It's a model to instruct us how to pray. This then, Jesus said, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So again, Jesus is in the middle of a lesson on how to pray. Beforehand, he tells us a couple things not to do. Don't do it for show. Don't do it so that other people look at you and say, wow. Wow. That's not the point, is it? And don't babble your prayers thinking that the more words you say, the more you will be heard. But rather, here's how you should pray. First, with reverence and in the context of a relationship. And I have a spot on your outline for you to fill in some of the missing pieces. And our first pair is this. Relate and revere. Relate and revere. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we are invited. I don't know if we would be so bold if Jesus had not told us that we should address God in this familiar way as our Father in heaven. He is approachable, like Phil read for us from Hebrews chapter 4, right? Because Jesus is this great high priest who has made a way for us to be reconciled to the Father, how do we come to him? Timidly, with great fear. The word used is boldness. It's the kind of boldness a child has with a parent, with a loved one, with a good friend. Come with boldness. Call him your Father. Know that in Christ you are beloved sons and daughters. This is so relational. And yet, it's tempered. There's balance here. Holy is your name. So it's not over familiarity. There's still respect. There's still reverence. So prayers that honor God are both deepening our relationship with him and elevating our reverence for him. Both. Comfort, boldness, tempered by reverence. Jesus himself referred to his Father with such a close relationship. I and the Father are one. I do the things that I see him doing. He tells me what he thinks. We know each other completely. And yet, in Christ, we also see great reverence. Here's our second pair. Bow and join. Bow and join. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll learn this week in our readings that the primary purpose of prayer is not for us to influence God with our requests, but prayer changes us. It aligns our hearts with God's heart. It aligns our will with his will, and we bow our plans. We bow our will to God. It means surrendering our plans to God. God, you are first. And yet he invites us to join him. It's so transforming. As I pray, I begin to understand what God wants and how he sees the world. So life is not all about me getting what I want. I was reading yesterday, reading through the Bible, and I was reading in 1 Peter chapter 4 in the Message, and I read this. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. So as I pray, there is a surrendering to the will of God. It's not like, God, this is what I want. You better give it to me. It's, God, I think this is what I want, but you know better. And what I really want is to do things your way and to be part of what you're doing. So prayer changes us from the inside out. It changes our desires. And we get to be part of what God is doing in this world, part of something healthy and beautiful and transforming. God speaks to us and shows us things that we can be part of that are God-sized. Often when I'm praying, I'll feel like God is speaking back to me. And sometimes what he says is this: your prayers aren't big enough. Your prayers are not God-sized, right? The things that you're asking for, you can do without my help. How about some God-sized prayers? So I've learned to pray prayers and ask for things that are bigger than John, bigger than what John has in mind, big enough to include what God has in mind. So prayer is not so much what we want, but what God wants, and aligning our hearts with God. Sometimes it seems like our prayers go unanswered, but God answers our prayers in a variety of ways. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says yes, but not now. And sometimes he says no. I've heard that there's a church in New Hampshire that on one of its beams it has been carved, no is an answer. And it's true, isn't it? Our third pair is this, depend and ask. Depend and ask. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Because sometimes life can seem overwhelming. And so we're asking God for what we need for this day. Our daily needs, whatever they might be. It's a call to humble dependence on God, believing that God will provide what we need, maybe not what we want, but what we need for this day. We're not asking God for what we need next week or next month or next year. We're asking God for what we need today. Right before this prayer, Jesus tells his disciples that God knows what you need even before you ask it. So why bother asking? When we express our needs, when we ask God for our daily bread, we're expressing our dependence on God every day, every day. One of my favorite authors is George MacDonald. In his novel, The Highlander's Last Song, through one of his characters, he asks this question. If all you had left in your life was Christ, would he be enough? If all you had left in your life was Christ, would he be enough? Our next pair helps clear away some of the things that block our prayers. Repent and release. Repent and release. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Through his life and death and resurrection, Jesus makes a way for us to be forgiven, to be reconciled with God. And as we invite Jesus into our life, we also confess our sins daily, so that we can experience God's grace in fresh ways and keep our relationship current. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to apologize. Anybody else in that group? I am. Sometimes I say things I should not say, or do things I should not do, or leave undone things I should have done. And sometimes I need to say, I'm sorry. And that is a daily thing. We say that to God. Forgive us for our sins. And then Jesus doesn't stop there, right? He commands us to give the same grace to others. He knows that an unforgiving spirit will poison us. So he calls us to give the same grace to others that we have received from him. The forgiveness of my sin and my forgiveness of other sins is intimately connected, right? They're tied together. We first receive God's life-giving forgiveness, and then we have the power to forgive others, to give up the right to get even with them, to let God be God, and for us to be people of grace. Immediately following this prayer, Jesus says this, for if, this is a conditional statement, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. How much wiggle room is there in that? Is there any wiggle room in that? I must be honest, there are times when I have not wanted to let go of my desire to hurt somebody back. But it's these verses that just give me no wiggle room. If you want to receive grace and forgiveness from the Father, you need to give grace and forgiveness to those who have hurt you. It's a path to freedom, isn't it? Here's the final pair. Ask God to guide and protect. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, lead me and guide me wherever I go. I depend on you for direction and protection. And when I find myself in places where I'm vulnerable, protect me. Help me to know that you are with me. Grow my faith to overcome temptation when faced with it in this life. Prayer is an invitation to a relationship with God, a two-way conversation. And for us, it's life and death. As we enter our time of response, and every Sunday morning we do this because we want this to be a conversation. Before we go on with the rest of our service, in this case, before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we take a moment and ask the question, how does what I've heard apply to my life, and what will I do then as a response to what I've heard? Let me read those pairs to you again and just ask the question, which of these is the most challenging for you right now? Relate and revere, bow and join, depend and ask, repent and release, ask God to guide and protect. Let's take a moment and respond to what we've heard. And at the end of that silent time, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Will you stand and say the Lord's Prayer together with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.